listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome to yet another broadcast of The Front Line. We have a program today that I really want to tell you ahead of time. We're going to get to our introduction of our guests in a moment or two. But just to prep you, this is a powerful testimony, two powerful witnesses, and that leads to tremendous ministry that emerged out of a season of great suffering in the lives of two wonderful God people. So and I want you to, as a listener, buckle your seatbelt, you know, get ready. But this is going to be a blessing to many, many listeners. But first, I traditionally introduce my co-hosts, and I must say first that Ed Skiba, we prayed for him last week. He is now out of the hospital and in rehab, and they're going to make him strong so he can move around and have, you know, get all of his life back. And we're going to pray for Ed in a minute then, to just ask God to bless him in that. And then our manager's youngest son, Andrew, has been in the hospital. We got in yesterday at some point, I don't know when, but it's been a hard journey for Jonathan and his wife Rachel, and of course their other son Jay. We want to pray for them, for Andrew, for healing, restoration, and a blessing for the whole family. And we'll get to that in just a second, but I have to introduce, I do have a co-host today, and she is my lovely wife Cynthia. And I just say hello to the folks, if you will.
Hi.
There she is, yeah. And because I didn't have any, part of the reason I didn't have any co-hosts today, and although I could have done this on my own, but I was thinking, Cynthia has been my co-host for almost 54 years in marriage, and so I'm delighted that she was able and willing to come today. And so thank you, sweetie. And oh, by the way, happy birthday. Today is her birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad God birthed you and brought you into my life.
And same here.
Thank you. My birthday was yesterday, so that's old news. But any rate, let's have a little prayer before I introduce our guest. Father God, we thank you for Ed. Thank you for the tremendous healing that you've already brought into his life, Father, that he was brought back from the dead twice, and you've healed all of the things that he needed, why he was in the hospital, and you set him on a path of restoration, and now he's in rehab. And we just pray that everybody involved in that process would be at the peak of their skill and their dedication, and they would bring their passions for healing to Ed's life, and that they would truly put him on a path of restoration, new strength. Father, you put it on my heart to pray that he would not just be restored as he was, but he would be made even stronger. And so I add that into this prayer now for Ed, that he would be made stronger. Pray for Andrew, Lord. We don't know what's going on, only you do. He does have health issues, and apparently some have manifested themselves. He's in the hospital. We pray for all the doctors, all the nurses, all the medical professionals that have anything to do with his care, and especially those involved in diagnostics, that you would give them your wisdom about what Andrew needs.
Thank you.
That you would bring your healing powers to bear. The Holy Spirit would move in such a way that Andrew would be restored. And not only would he be restored, but those treating him and diagnosing him would see that and know that it is your hand that is at work in his life. Pray for Jonathan and Rachel, Andrew's folks, and his older brother Jay, because they are all caught up in this.
Thank you.
And just bring them your peace, the peace that passes all understanding, as you bring that restoration to Andrew's life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Now, listeners, I want to introduce you to two wonderful people. I've only met one of them, but I plan on correcting that someplace down the road. Phil and Priscilla Fretwell. Welcome to the front line.
Thank you.
We're glad to be here. So great to be with you guys.
It's super. I have to give everyone an idea how we met, Phil, because this was a God thing.
Oh, do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Every year I go on a retreat. I get away from everything. I go to a place that I've been going for 20-some years that have private retreats. It's just a place to get away, pump out the toxic waste of my soul, that kind of thing, get into some prayer and study of the Word. And other people go there. And this year in January when I was there, I met Phil. Phil was there for the same reason. And so we had common meals together and had a chance to meet each other and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil shared his story, and I'm not going to tell his story. He's going to tell his story. But just to say that Phil and his wife, Priscilla, have a powerful ministry to bring God's healing into marriages that have been ravaged primarily by porn, lust, those deep sinful issues of the soul, as their marriage was restored because of the damage that that had caused.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, at this point, Phil and Priscilla, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can really introduce yourselves and introduce your ministry to our listeners. And by the way, I will say, folks, you might hear some things that may be challenging to you, but they're not meant to be challenging, but they're real. This is real life, real people facing the real evil and mm-hmm. how it needs to be dealt with in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's maybe all I'm going to need to say. Phil and Priscilla, welcome. Tell us about yourself.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for that introduction, David. And our story, like so many people's story, starts all the way back into childhood, but which we'll talk to you a little bit about. But 28 years in our marriage, I was living a life that I hated. I was super involved at our church. I was the chairman of the elders, teaching weekly Bible studies, but I was harboring a big secret that nobody knew anything about. And Priscilla didn't know anything about it because I kept it hidden from her. And 28 years in our marriage, I came to her and I had to describe to her the secret life that I've been living, which had started with porn and masturbation as a teen, like it does with so many people. But as an adult, it had continued to consume more and more of me, eventually led to massage parlors, strip clubs, and doing things that I just absolutely abhorred, but I couldn't quit. Well, at least I didn't think I could quit it. And I allowed that to consume me, and it was down to a place of just about creating such a war inside of me that I couldn't live that way any longer. And so I went to Priscilla, and I let her know everything that was going on inside of me, and it was one of the hardest conversations of my life.
Mm. Yeah, it's a day that I never thought would ever happen, because, you see, I married my Prince Charming. Mm. You know, he looked really good on the outside, seemed to be a Christian guy who had his life together. And at that kitchen table that day is when I heard of another man, a man that I did not know, a man that totally shocked me of what was happening in his life. And it just devastated me. And I could see his brokenness. I could see him falling apart. And this is a man who always had it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is falling apart. And, we just sat at that kitchen table, and he just explained to me where he was.
And the betrayal wasn't just the infidelity and the things that I had done that harmed and certainly offended Priscilla, but just as important was this lifetime of secrecy. It's like when you're living with somebody who you think is one thing and then you find out it's something else, you're processing now that this is just not the man that I knew.
Mm.
And I had been dealing with all of this stuff before we got married, but Priscilla was a missionary's kid, had super impressive family, and I knew that if I told her who I was before we got married, she might not marry me. And so I leaked out a few little things to her, but I didn't really go into what the torment was of my life. And I just thought, like many guys, that when you get married, all this stuff goes away. And that's probably one of the biggest lies that guys believe. Yeah. Everybody that has dealt with porn or issues like that knows that lie, because they've all believed it. And then you marry and you find out it doesn't fix the problems that's going on inside. And so part of what I had to walk through with Priscilla is I had to get rid of the secrecy, because the secrecy was the issue of my soul. It was the protection. And it was born out of fear that if she really knows who I am, she won't love me. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my biggest fears in life. David, you may remember when we were at that Abbey, I asked you guys to pray for me, because God had just shown me that I had one of the big fears. I had a fear of not being loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to my dad leaving our family at age 10, getting married 3 days later, moving to a different place, different family, and me then going into a life of performance and having to look good and be somebody in order to be loved. And that's what followed me then life. So this shame of not really being that person underneath was just really eating me alive. And so I knew I couldn't leave any rock uncovered with Priscilla. And Priscilla, I think it took us, there was like 30 days of confession, right? As God continued to reveal.
Yeah, I mean, every day was a day of, let me show you more of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think the beauty of this relationship that we have with God is that He does not bring it all at once, all in one day. But every day was a new day of saying, I want you to see more of who I am.
Mm.
And it took 30 days for us to walk through all the junk in both of our lives.
Yeah.
Now at this
because point, I think many people. Go ahead, David.
No, I was going to ask. Now at this point, it was just you, Phil, and Priscilla, in the Holy Spirit working through this with the 30 days of sharing. You didn't have any professional folks behind you urging you on at that point?
So we had a connection with a ministry called Whatever It Takes Ministries. And I had been at really a place of despair earlier in the year. And I said, God, I have a broken mind. I need help. I just don't know how to get out of this. And a friend of mine connected me with this guy named Paul Speed, who is the founder of Whatever It Takes Ministries. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Paul, and Paul didn't know me. But I remember that I had been flying quite a lot for work, and I had a long trip scheduled. And when I was wrestling with this, I was crying out to God and saying, God, I need help. I don't know how to get out of this. I noticed some symptoms that led me to believe I had contracted a sexually transmitted disease.
Mm.
Now, I hadn't, but I thought I had.
Mm.
And the fear of that pushed me over the ledge, because I knew
it broke you.
It broke me.
Yeah.
I knew that I could no longer keep this a secret from Priscilla, because if something happened to her health, everybody would know. Our kids would know. They might disown me. So a friend put me in touch with this guy, Paul Speed. I remember I was on the plane. I was gonna be on a 13-hour plane flight. I got in, the door shut, and I sat in the seat. And even though I had managed my emotions for the few days before this trip, I got on that plane and the door shut, and just the, I don't know, it was like the isolation, the darkness, and I started crying. Mm-hmm. And I cried for 5 hours, and I couldn't stop crying. And I finally got up enough courage to call a buddy of mine who put me in touch with Paul. And Paul called me and rolled through his story. I rolled through mine. Told him that I was a place of despair, and he said, Phil, I've got good news for you. There's a way out. And I said, well, what is it? And he goes, well, it doesn't involve any of the things you've been doing. Because, see, I'd been to professional counseling for 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had done all the things. I had read the books. I had done the accountability groups. I had done everything, and it hadn't worked. And I had apps on my phone, all this type of stuff that guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, it doesn't involve any of that. And I said, well, that's great. I've tried all that. What does it involve? And he says, you need to be completely transparent, and you need to confess your sins to those that you've offended. And that's going to start with Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
And because James 5:16 says that if we confess our sins and pray for one another, we will be healed.
Amen.
And I had always linked confession to forgiveness, but that verse talks about healing, and I knew I desperately needed healing.
Amen.
And so that started the process, and that with that encouragement, I started with Priscilla and then went to all of our kids and the friends and everybody that I've been a hypocrite to and shared with them what had been going on in my life.
Wow. That must have been extremely difficult at one level.
It was. I mean, that day in the kitchen, Phil had... he had asked me to help him fix his mind because he knew his mind was broken. And when he said that, he also added, can you go to this place, this retreat for women with Whatever It Takes Ministries? It's called 4 Days to Hope. And maybe this will help me get my mind healed. And so I went 5 days out after he disclosed to me his double life, and I went there, and I was just totally, everything was just hemorrhaging out of me. I was all like, I couldn't even keep it together. I was just bawling and crying all the time. And but I got there, and I realized that sitting through the sessions, for the first time in my life, David, I heard the voice of God. And he said, Priscilla, I didn't bring you here to fix Phil. I brought you here to fix you.
Wow.
And that's the first time I ever heard the voice of God speak to me. And I sat there going, wow, God is talking to me. And so during the course of the retreat is where I realized my rebellion towards God. That, my husband had lived a double life, and it disgusted me. Yeah, that was true. But I also was living a rebellious life towards God. Because, you see, I looked like I was the perfect Christian woman. I was involved in church. My kids were, they all behaved well. Was involved in all kinds of activity, religious activities, right? VBS, going on missions trips, the choir, you name it, I was involved in Bible study. But, it's like an iceberg. You see the tip of the iceberg, and it looks one way. But when you look underneath, it's something completely different.
Amen.
And I was an iceberg, because if you would look at me underneath, see the real me, you would have seen a person who was desolate. I was a desert. There was nothing growing inside of me. I was the biggest hypocrite, the Pharisee, that looked like I was living for Christ, but I wanted no part of God.
Wow.
Because there were no fruits in my life. And I pretended. I mean, I love going to church. I love being with people. But I never had the power or the fruit displayed in my life. I was nothing, really. I was just a shell. And I had a very, very apathetic spirit towards God. Because even though I demonstrated that I was all Christian-y, I never read His Word. Didn't really care to. He was on my 911 call and something really bad happened.
I hear that.
But I did not desire to have God live in me and through me and display His grace through me. And so I left that conference, and for the first time I realized where I was with God. And so I saw the mess that I was in, and I also, for the first time in my life, felt His love for me.
Wow. Wow, that is powerful. I want to continue with that, but I think we're at a point. Let's take a break. It'll be about a minute and a half, and then we'll be right back with Phil and Priscilla Fretwell. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to the front line. Wow, powerful stuff. Phil and Priscilla Fretwell with the Savage Ministry, Savage Marriage Ministries. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that ministry came about. During the break, I was hearing Phil and Priscilla share their testimony, and from a place of deep pain and a place where they'd been mired in darkness, but we know it was Holy Spirit of God. It was brought them out. But I was telling Phil and Priscilla, as a pastor, that I have one of the challenges I've always had with people is, you know, that we get to lead them to Christ, and then begin the issues of discipleship. But the devil comes in and will say, well, now if you can accept Christ, that's fine. Now you don't have to worry about sin anymore. You don't have to worry about anything you've ever done. Now we do know that when we do receive Jesus, we receive his righteousness. And God looks upon us then through his righteousness, because we never had any of our own. But the lie of the devil keeps us from being honest with ourselves, with God, and with those others in our lives about our need to continue growing and the dark places that are still in our lives. So I love what you're talking about. To some degree, it's every Christian story, and we need to be aware of that. So if you have any comments on what I just said, great. Oh, but I also want to say, speaking of comments, because we're bringing Phil in on the phone line, we can't take calls. But if you want to send a question or a comment, you can do so through the email, and I have our station email up and running here in the studio. How do you do that? Well, you send it to WCNO@WCNO.com. That's our email. Send an email request, a comment, or whatever, and I'll make sure that Phil and Priscilla have a chance to listen to that and respond. That's WCNO@WCNO.com. All right, I'm just going to put it back to you, Phil and Priscilla.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what you said is so important, David, because I think the message that I'd already always picked up in the church through the numerous testimonies, the testimonies always seem to be about receiving Christ. And so somebody would display their ungodly life, and then they get saved and how everything has changed. Mm-hmm. But I never recalled hearing a testimony about a believer whose life then went into the deep pit, mm-hmm. and how God healed them. Mm. Because I think sometimes we can send a message that Jesus is all about saving, which he is, mm-hmm. but the other piece of it, he's also all about healing. Mm-hmm. And yes. That's the piece I had missed. So as a result, I had an enormous amount of shame. Mm-hmm. And the shame kept me buried. So we can give a lot of grace to people who go through all these sins before they get saved, but the ones that are after they save, we tend to not give a lot of grace to in the church, and that's the reason that in the lobby, when you ask people how they're doing, 100% are fine. And we know that's just not true.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And that I certainly would have been in that camp, right?
I agree with you, and I'm hearing myself, you know, my early self, who was, I mean, technically, what the devil tells people is that if you're really honest, you're going to embarrass yourself, and you don't want to do that. So there's fear in telling the truth. And then especially when it comes to the people who know you or think they know you and love you, and when it comes to someone that has stature in the church,
mm-hmm.
you see that whole thing, well, you can't really talk about this because it's going to ruin your place in the church, the appreciation people have for you, the effectiveness of your ministry, all of that stuff. Those are all lies. And you've told us, and I'm just going to say, we're going to be talking about two major sources for our listeners to get more information. One is going to be your website, which we'll talk about in a minute, mm-hmm. and how they can get to it. And the other is that there's a book you've written called Savage Ministry, A Savage Marriage, that tells your story in a powerful way. And I tell you, I've had to read it in chunks. It's too rich for me to take in one bite. But the story is powerful. It's healing and promising. Because I know people right now, in my heart, the Lord is telling me there are listeners right now that are deeply, they're embedded in their own angst and fear because of what they've heard so far. Mm-hmm. And it's now, and I'm just going to ask you to again assure them that there's deliverance from that.
Yeah, well, we can certainly tell you there's deliverance, not only for me, but for the spouse.
And mm-hmm. for the whole family.
And for the whole family, because, you know, David, that was such a key part of our story. See, when I got into this and started confessing, about the biggest dream I could have was that I wouldn't get a divorce. Mm-hmm. That was about it. You know, we had five kids. I was well-known in the community, and to think of anything more than just kind of not getting a divorce was just where I was. That was as big as I could dream. But what we saw is that I started sharing with our family. We had people in our family going through their own struggles, and we saw God go ahead and start delivering them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even my mom was 86 or something at the time, and she'd been a single mom growing up and all this type of stuff. She thought I hung the moon. She really mm-hmm. did. But I did not want to live this life of hypocrisy any longer. And so Priscilla and I went over and met with her, and I started rolling. I said, Mom, I've got to share something with you. And so I started sharing, and her jaw just hit the floor. She just couldn't believe it because mm-hmm. she had her own difficult life, but at least I was doing good. And so when mm-hmm. I started sharing with this, she started looking down, and she looked up, and she said, well, you know, we all have our secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Mom, do you have a secret? And I could tell she was very troubled and apprehensive and tentative, and she finally said, yes, I do. 46 years ago, I had an illegal abortion. I've never told a single soul about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were surprised, right? And it happened after my dad left her. She went to a bar. She met a guy, and she ended up having sex with him, and then she got pregnant. She was in her 30s. She was a school teacher. She had two young kids, couldn't afford to have the baby, and she begged a doctor, her doctor, to help her with this, and he set up an illegal abortion for her in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she flew up there and had it and came back and had never told anybody besides the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And and so when she told us that, I said, Mom, you need to share that with my sister, her daughter, Cindy. And so she agreed, and so the next weekend, Cindy and her husband, Bob, came over, and my mom rolled out what had happened to her early in her life with the abortion. And then my sister then told my mom about the abortion she had had when she was 18.
Oh. Whoa.
And so what happened is God was able to bring enormous healing through this. And my sister had already been active in a ministry and had shared this openly with her church and everything, but she had never shared it with my mom.
Wow.
And so what we found is that my daughter Sarah describes it now as, Dad, you created a ripple effect. You took a step, and what God has done is they've used it. So what I thought was just healing for me. That was about it. I saw it be healing for Priscilla. I saw it be healing for my mom, our family, and God has done so much. And friends, as we shared, because I just made up my mind I wasn't going to live a life of hypocrisy. I told Priscilla I would rent a billboard and put it on Interstate 4 and say, Phil Fretwell, adulterer, if that's what it took. And, but God, I mean, we went through our thing. Priscilla, you wanted to shave your head, remember?
Yeah.
You were going to shave your head and go to church.
Yeah.
I'm glad she didn't, but she wanted to.
Wow.
You know, and but God just did a miracle through that, and it wasn't just getting us to a place. See, the saving the marriage is important, but there's such a bigger thing that's at stake.
Yes,
Cynthia, it's not just saving the marriage, but it's putting a stake in the ground for the testimony of the power of the gospel.
Amen. Cynthia,
because see, when this happens in your family, your kids. And your family can look at this and say, wow, God is real.
Amen.
His power is undeniable because I've seen him change my mom and my dad, and their life is now different.
Cynthia has a question she'd like to offer.
Well, I've been taking notes as you've been talking, and you're really telling everybody's story. In one shape or the other, that we've all had our ideals that we're trying to live up to. There is a huge need for us to be convicted and confess and deal with that remorse. But in that, we're exposing our secrets and the need for grace and healing.
And that's really part and parcel of living the Christian life, and it's very scriptural, and yet, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, I don't live that as authentically as I need to.
Neither do I.
And I'm hearing that I'm being convicted now in the spirit, you know, and I'm hoping others are, to say, you know, I'm not really been honest with myself. Much less, you know, God already knows, but I need to be honest with him too and let that honesty open up, bloom, if you will, to envelop however many people in my life I need to do that.
Well, that's why, you know, we look at how we live today. It's really a life of repentance. Yeah. And we actually have an acronym of HOT, H-O-T. And it stands for honest, open, and transparent.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one of those things that we really have really worked on in our marriage is not just to be honest and open, but to be transparent with one another. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's really where repentance comes into this because, you know, when we're repenting, we want to be able to have fellowship with one another. And the only way we're going to do that is when we bear to one another who we really are.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, we've had to walk this in a real radical way. Right after I confessed all this, I mean, you don't immediately get rid of memories.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know, even though I confessed all this stuff to Priscilla, I still have a past that doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I can deal with triggers, she can deal with triggers. So early on, like if I would ride by a massage parlor and the city, and let's say I'd been to it, I would get a trigger. I get a memory. Mm-hmm. So I would send, we had this little code, I would send Priscilla a little praying hands emoji, a text, And she would usually, and she would write back, and she would say, she knew that if I sent her that text, that meant that I was dealing with something in my mind from my past. And she would send me like little googly eyes, love hearts, and say, "You are the, you are a faithful man of God." And she would just declare over me words of life. And do you know, as soon as I hit the send button on the text, do you know any desire to act out or be unfaithful to her just left? Because it couldn't live in the light like that. And so that was what we practiced. And during those early months, Priscilla, I'd send you a lot of them.
Quite a few.
Yeah, I could see that.
But now it's once in a while now.
Right. And also when he would get home, I would say, so what was the praying hands about?
Let's talk about it. And, you know, people find it hard to believe that you can invite your spouse into your temptation, but part of the issue is people confuse temptation with sin and lust, you know, but Jesus was tempted in all ways as us, yet without sin.
Exactly.
So, you know, in James, I think it's 4, it talks about we're all tempted as we're enticed and drawn away. So temptation we live with. Sin is a choice. And so so we've had to learn to bring each other into our temptation. Another place we did it, and people can't believe that this is what we did. I mean, a frequent issue with men and women that are dealing with porn and lust and all this stuff is you're being intimate with your spouse, yet you have thoughts of something else in your head.
Images.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasies.
Fantasies. And so nobody wants to talk about that one. And so what we decided we had to do is we had to be hot. And so early on, we had to go back and deal with these thoughts. And so I had to bring them out to Priscilla.
And I had to bring mine out to you, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you had your own background.
I had my own background. I had my own exposure to erotic novels. Or even HBO movies and porn magazines when I was a young girl.
And so
those images were imprinted in my brain.
So here we are, you know, we're believers, we're Christians, we're having our own sexual experience together, and we both have thoughts of other images in our head, and neither one of us know that.
When we're together.
When we're together.
Intimately. So it's like a threesome or more.
Yeah, it's like group sex with just the two of us, you know? And so we had to be honest about that. And so what we decided is we would be honest about this and transparent. And because we did not want to share our marriage bed with anybody else. And so that's what we do now. And even now, occasionally, if something will flit through our mind, we say we have to talk about this. And so what we found, and people, that it's so hard for people to wrap their arms around it, but many times after we've been intimate together, I'll look at Priscilla and I'll say, "Hey, babe, it's just you and me, nobody else today." And it's a wonderful way that I can say my mind. So the initial prayer, "Priscilla, my mind is broken. I need help. Will you help me?" She helped me, and I can tell you that I've had a healed mind from that.
Wow. And that's powerful, but that's part of the mutuality in marriage, the blessing that God, in a man and a woman's life as a husband and wife, you know, we talk all day about the theology of marriage, right? And what happens when we come together. But the one flesh thing, we don't completely unpack. You're beginning to unpack this for us, that one flesh also involves the transparency, the honesty, and not just talking about wonderful things, but we also have to talk about the things that have a very painful impact on who we are. And at this point, I'm going to say we're going to take a break, because when I come back, I'm going to ask you to talk about the birth of the ministry, the Sarah Savage Marriage Ministry, how that came about, because we have listeners now. They're at the point when they're saying, "Oh, they're talking about me and my wife or my husband. How do I get help? Where do I go?" And there is a place, and this is This is, I think, for many people, the place to go. And we're going to talk about that, but let's take a little break.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Hi, this is David Frank, who are co-host of the Frontline program. You may have an interest in being a guest on the front line, and if that is so, please send an email, wcno@wcno.com, and make it to my attention, David, and put in that email your interest and why you think you might be a good guest for us, and I'll review that and get back with you. And thank you for responding, and thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. Welcome back to the front line. We're in our last 20 minutes of, actually less than 20 now, looking at my watch. Time has flown. Phil and Priscilla Fretwell, the founders of Savage Marriage Ministries, sharing their story. If you've been sticking with us since the beginning, I know you've heard a lot. Some of it's challenging to you. It is certainly all of it direct and honest. And it's also true. It's not just, and I must say, Phil and Priscilla, you're not unique among human beings, as you well know.
No.
Your story, you're telling everybody's story to one degree or another. But what often happens is that a lot of people's stories are stillborn out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're embedded in that fear. It's a prison. Fear is a prison. And no matter how much the devil wants to tell us that we have, that fear is not a prison, that it's a place of to be, to hide out from the pain of the truth, it actually is one of the worst prisons in the world. And a lot of people walking that are not in physical prisons, but they're imprisoned by that fear, and God, what he God wants to do is free you. Today, thus far, you people, listeners, stuck with us, you've begun to hear how you can be free. So, Phil and Priscilla, tell us about Savage Marriage Ministries, how it came about, and what you do.
Well, we never had an objective to create a ministry. I just was hoping not to get a divorce. That was about as big as it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I think what happened is we started pursuing God for truth, and we started seeing truth. And as we started distilling some things that we had never heard from anybody before about healing in this area of our life, we had a number of people that started talking to us about writing some of this down. We created a study guide. We started, I think, a year and a half out from our big day of disclosure and where our life changed. We were leading small groups at our house. And most people say that the recovery from this stuff takes 5 to 10 years. I remember, Priscilla, you reading a book that said that.
It said that, and I got so stinking mad at it. And I just threw that book across the room, and I said, I'm not going to read this. I will not accept the fact that it's going to take me 10 years, 5 to 10 years, to feel, I can't feel this way every day. And I was not going to wait around for 5 years for me to be well.
Yeah.
So we started asking God for healing. And we saw him move through the bulk of this probably in six months in. You were sharing with our family your forgiveness for me and us moving on.
Right. Yeah. I was Thanksgiving, and I stood up, and the Lord really impressed me. He goes, everybody's around the table. I mean, extended family, everybody. And he said, you have to get up, and you have to testify. Mm. Testify of your forgiveness that I've done through you. And it was beautiful. And I just stood up, and I said, I want you all to know that I have forgiven Phil, and that we have walked out of this, and we're going to continue to walk this journey together.
Mm. And we don't say that as an indictment for anybody that has been wrestling with us for 5 to 10 years, because we know there's lots of different paths. Ours isn't a formula, but it's everybody's story is a little bit unique. But we trusted God for something big in our life, and he did it. And so we started writing it down, leading small groups.
But the core of our ministry now, I would say, is really the message and revelation that was for us was that we are wanting to have oneness in our marriage. Mm. Because prior in the 28 years, we lived together. We were able to do logistics, do family outings, you know, all the do activities together. But there wasn't oneness in our spirit or our emotion. We had physical oneness. We were intimate physically. But when it came to the spiritual side of our relationship and our emotional connection, there was a distance. Yeah. And we realized then that all we had was spiritual activity. Mm-hmm. And we were, like, booked up on that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we never had a spiritual life together.
Of real intimacy.
Of real intimacy, that's right.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, David, that we see with many couples is very few couples are spiritually intimate. They're full of spiritual activities, but as far as being able to see the face of the Savior within one another and experience the life of Savior within their, the life of Christ within their relationship, they don't really do it. And so we had to understand what that was. And what we found and what kind of gave birth to the book and the podcast and everything else was that as we became spiritually intimate with one another, we then had a platform for emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then the sexual intimacy became a reflection of what was happening spiritually and emotionally. And I think that most of my counseling in the past, during the 28 years when I was acting out and everything, they said, I had a sexual problem, and I needed to work on the sexual answer. And what it was is I had a sexual problem, but I had a spiritual problem. I had an emotional problem. I had a problem in my soul. So when we went back and we started fixing it, we saw that our bodies, my body, started then reflecting something different. My body had been reflecting previously the brokenness of my soul. But as my spirit and my soul came into alignment with God's message, I then had a different answer that began being produced in my body. And so that's what we did. So we have a couple of books out, Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction. And then after that, we put out a study guide called Savage Marriage, Overcome Your Past, Fight for Your Future. And many couples have read those and go through those. And we have a podcast, Savage Marriage, with Phil and Priscilla, available on iTunes, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. But those are used, and then we do coaching. And so if people want to talk to us, they can go on our website, savagemarriageministries.com. There's a coaching tab there, and we do our coaching on a donation basis because this is a ministry. We're trying to help people. And that way we're letting everybody get help. But you can go on there, find a time that's available, and we'll be glad to talk with you.
And if you're listening but you can't write things down, you can always call the radio station at 772-221-1100. And I ask for me, I'm not always here, but I can leave this information so people... You can get the information if you can't write it down, because some people are driving, and I don't want you to stop driving so you can write, because that can be dangerous. And the website again is savagemarriageministries.com. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. That's it.
And I really want to repeat that again, savagemarriageministries.com, because that website is totally packed with any information you're going to need, especially to get in touch with Phil and Priscilla, and mm-hmm. review the resources that are on the website. Maybe be prayerful about taking advantage of the coaching opportunities. The other thing, and you are also available to travel if you get a call from a group or a church, and they would love for you to, and you've done this, I know, and bring Savage Marriage Ministries to where people are, and you have workshops and presentation seminars and that sort of thing. Talk a little bit about your availability and what you do when you do travel.
Yeah, so we travel on a couple of things. First of all, we help with this. I mentioned this initial ministry that helped us, Whatever mm-hmm. It Takes Ministry. So mm-hmm. we just got back from a weekend where we spent Thursday through Sunday with couples, coaching them through. It was called Hearts Restored, put on by Whatever It Takes Ministries. It was in Indiana. We just got back last night. And we coach at many of their conferences. We help share our story, and we spend time with individual couples. And that goes over the course of the year. So you can go on their website at WITministries.com, or just search under Whatever It Takes Ministries, and you'll find their scheduled events. We're not at every single one, but we're at a lot of them. But the other thing we will do is we will share at a church. We did this a few weeks ago at a church in South Florida, and we did it on Becoming One. It was the Hot Pursuit of Intimacy, Becoming One in Spirit, Soul, and Body. We had three sessions as we walked them through what it meant to become one, to become healed, and become known, become healed, and become one. Mm-hmm. And how that works in their life. And we had an awesome ministry opportunity at the end of that that time that we spent with them. So we love doing that. We're always open to sharing our story.
That's cool. And my hope is more individual churches and other groups would open up. I don't know if anyone else that is doing exactly what you and Priscilla are doing in terms of ministry. Mm-hmm. In this particular area, I'm not. There may be some. I just don't know who they are. And of course, the best thing one can do is seek to replicate what God is doing that's working. You know, and so there may be others, but I don't know of them. And so I'm particularly encouraging our listeners, who by now should know if they have a need, that there is a means of getting blessed and getting delivered. From the areas you're being assailed in, and it is demonic.
Yeah,
it's demonic activity.
Yeah,
and we want to get away from that.
It is really true. I mean, the one other place of ministry that the Lord led us into a few years ago is we were asked to share with teens, and in this case, they were all missionary kids. They were overseas. They were going to be coming back to the U.S. They were all Americans, mm-hmm. and we've done that for the last two summers in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. And we'll be going back this year to Southeast Asia and then also to Europe to do a similar conference in Austria. But they wanted to have us present because we shared with them the challenge is they told us to share our story just like we just shared it with you, you know, mm-hmm. raw, mm-hmm. unedited. And as we've done that, we found that we're able to not only triage the background, but to get to some people before they've gone through all the mess that I've gone through. And I tell you, speaking to teens about these topics in a real open way has been awesome. And we even have some materials we put together called God, Sex, and Singles that helps bring the single people through some of these concepts and the way that we can be free from these things. Because what we've seen is we're all sexually broken. We live in a very sexually broken world, and you mm-hmm. can't live in this world without being affected somehow.
Amen.
And amen. So that's been a real blessing.
We are almost out of time, but Cynthia had a comment.
Right. Now this sounds very surface, but I'm curious. How did you come up with the name Savage?
Oh. Yeah. So when we were first putting together our small group stuff, we were talking to one of our kids, our son Michael. He's 25 at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, so what are you guys going to call this? And we were like, oh, I don't know, maybe like oneness in marriage or something like that. And he goes, oh, Dad, he goes, that is so 80s. You know? and I said, all right, what would you call it? And he thought a second, and he said, Savage Marriage.
Ooh.
And we thought, wow, that's really aggressive.
But at first he also said, because we were writing names on the paper, what we would make it. But the first choice he put down was Badass Marriage.
Yeah.
And we said,
that might not have flown
Christian
so well. Yeah.
Yeah.
No Christian's
going to buy that book.
No Christian's going to buy it. No, no, no.
A few people, but not all.
A few of our listeners probably flinched, you know, when you said that. But, you know, we're talking about a process we all go through to try to find the right way of addressing and naming the things that God is having us do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But Savage, yeah. when you first shared that with me at the retreat center, the name, I kind of got taken aback for a minute, but you'd already shared your story with me, so it kind of, then it merged, you know, it made mm-hmm. great sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's perfect.
It's even the verse, I think it's a Matthew 11,
John.
Is it John? John 11, 12? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's the verse where he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. And it's an obscure verse, right? But what we saw in that is the tenacity that you have to get through a mess like this in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a savage level of raw intensity. And so as we came into that, we said, yep, that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if anyone who's listening will reflect on any growth that they've had in their lives, where sin was conquered by the Holy Spirit and by honesty and openness, it is a savage experience of getting to that point. Savage experience of getting to the point of being delivered.
It's raw.
It is raw.
Yeah.
It's and yeah, that's the way it is. So, I must say, and I promised or I threatened that you'd be back on the air with us down the road, and I'm just going to say I think it's a promise. But because there's much more to talk about here mm-hmm. than we have in an hour, it's hard to do. But I do want our listeners now, some have said, I just got a pen in my hand. How can I find these people?
And their books.
And their books. Yeah, tell us the resource again, the website and such.
Yeah, the website is savagemarriageministries.com, and our books are available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
If you search under Savage Marriage, Phil and Priscilla, you will certainly find it.
And it's a book that is well worth the read, but as I admitted that I was taking it in chunks because it's so powerful. It's not a book you're going to say, I'm going to sit down and read this from cover to cover in one night. Maybe you can do that. God bless you if you can. But it really it is rich and full and honestly very challenging,
mm-hmm.
but in a good way.
Because
it's a challenge to healing.
Confrontational.
Confrontational. But
yes,
way, God's
absolutely,
that way.
Cynthia.
God is that way.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're almost out of time, so I just want to thank you, Phil and Priscilla Fretwell, for being available and doing what God told you to do, and that you're always doing that because people are being blessed, lives are being changed. And most importantly, you know, that people are being delivered. This is important.
Amen.
The church doesn't talk enough about deliverance, nor do they. A lot of pulpits even hear about spiritual warfare. But it is happening. It's really true. It's always been there. And today, especially, in the type of world we live in, those of us who believe, who claim to be to knowing and following Jesus Christ, need to be focused on not just helping other people get out of the muck and mire of sin, but ourselves being honest with God and with each other and letting Him do that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, folks. We'll have you back down the road. To our listeners, thank you for being with us today. We will be with you next week.
Thank you.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.